The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
So you've probably seen the story that Tiger Woods is now being sued because an employee at a restaurant of which he is an owner died after a drunk driving incident.
Right.
And the guy had gotten drunk at the restaurant while on the job.
Right.
And somehow Tiger is getting sued for it. He was asked about this today at the press conference leading up to this week's PGA Championship.
Well, we're all very sad that Nick passed away. It was a terrible, terrible night, a terrible ending. And just we feel bad for him and his entire family. It's very sad.
So he was a bartender there. I guess he had a history of having problems with alcohol. Finished his job and then sat there at the bar drinking after his shift for a few hours. Three times the legal limit. He was involved in a crash and he died. I still don't understand how this is Tiger Woods' fault.
Right. I don't either.
It's tragic.
I think it's because
horrible.
Tiger Woods has money. And so the lawyers are like, well, let's go, where are the deepest pockets here? Which is always, that's always a problem. Right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's sad, but
yeah. And
Tiger Woods was responsible for that?
Right. And the guy, and again, I mean, it goes back to that whole issue of the guy did have a drinking problem to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, people have to take responsibility for their own rocket ship.
Yeah, that's true. His attorneys were saying they knew he was had alcohol problems when they hired him, and they were sort of putting the onus on the employer, but I didn't hear the attorney say anything about he was trying to handle his own drinking problem himself. I didn't hear that.
Right.
Jupiter, Florida just can't catch a break.
It is rather true, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Jupiter, too. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Checking in at
number four.
President Trump took a tour of the Sempra Energy facility in Hackbury, Louisiana today. He spoke about energy infrastructure and the economy, but couldn't resist taking a shot at the media.
Nobody has done more in the first 2 years of an administration, no matter where. The fake news back there. Look at all of them back there. Hey, yeah, yeah. Fake news. They're going to be very famous. They're going to be very famous tonight. Some will go and sign movie contracts tonight. Look at these guys.
Boy. Doesn't feel very comfortable, does it, when you hear him say that stuff? I know that he feels that if he gets, unfairly, approached by media, covered by media, I get it. No president has probably ever adored the media. But at the end of the day, what would we do without that part of our society? Checks and balances of the system, reporting on what's happening, going
and it's Russia.
The truth. Right.
Well, he also likes to say whatever he wants, regardless of its factual basis, and not be challenged on it, because if he thinks it must be true. We all have people like that in our lives. We just never thought they were going to be president of the United States.
Yeah, but not too long ago when he was doing this, someone did rush up and attack a media member.
Mm-hmm. A BBC person, I remember, reported being attacked.
It's dangerous.
By
yeah.
People in one of these crowds who were just like, we have no respect for you, and sort of charged at him. And
yeah. He likes to whip the people up. He's really good at telling everybody about how he's right, everybody else is wrong. You're with him or you're not with him. If you're not with him, then the other people are the enemy. And that's that really, it doesn't feel to me to be the American way of going about this. You could certainly have difference of policy and opinion. That's America. But they're your mortal enemy because they said I lied about something that I lied about. I mean, that's a problem. He then, though, not just the media, he likes to attack everybody, especially his Democratic opponents in 2020.
I got Boot Edge. I got Beto. Beto's falling fast. What the hell happened? Remember about four weeks ago, he said, I was made for this. He was made for it. He was made to fall like a rock. I don't know what the hell happened to Biden. What happened to him? I'm looking. I said, that doesn't look like the guy I knew. And Bernie, you know, Bernie's crazy. Bernie's crazy. You know, so it's going to be one of these people. Pocahontas, I think, is probably out. Boy, you got some beauties there. 350 million people, and that's the best we can do.
Well, I've thought that before. But every single one of those people is beating him in head-to-head polls.
I don't know about Beto. I'm not sure about
no,
that.
No, Beto by 10 points.
Beto is?
Yes.
Beto was rebooting his campaign this week because things were not going well.
They're not going well against the other Democrats. But against Donald Trump, he was up by the highest differential. It was 52-42.
Hmm. He's mentioning them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you've got, 22 Democrats now in the race with the Montana governor entering. Right. It's a lot there.
That's great. That's going to help a lot of people. When we get there's 22 people. I mean,
and you already have sort of AOC today saying Biden's not the one, calling him out on his policies and what he's believed in the past. It doesn't seem that even though he's polling far and away as someone who not only could beat Trump but could win, you still see a strong pull from the left side of the party to say that's not our guy. In the way you saw Bernie people do that with Clinton.
Well, I think AOC needs Donald Trump. That helps her. That's how she got elected. It's the only way she got elected, right? Was that there was just, she was going up against a portly white guy in mm-hmm. Queens.
An establishment player, had been around for a long time.
Right, and she was able to whip up a fire with young progressives on the Democratic primary, which got her the win, because there was just not a whole lot of wind in that guy's sails. It'd been there forever. And then she's going to, it's a Democrat district. So she was going to win that no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that's how that goes. That does not win nationally.
No.
But I don't think telling her anything is going to work. I think sitting down and discussing the facts with her either. Because again, we now live in a fact-free universe. We don't have to know anything. You just have to say it. You have to believe it. And if you believe it, you say it loud. And if you say it over and over and over again, then people will believe that you believe it. Maybe they'll believe it too if they haven't checked it themselves. And who can check it? There's so many things to check.
There are. That's right? Very true.
And there's so much data that comes at us, and there's so many things happening, whether it's your TV or your phone or what. You all day long, your phone is chirping at you about this or that,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, it's very hard to discriminate between what's important and what's not, and what's true and what's not. And now you're left with this, and then we get this guy, who I don't know. The one thing that just drives me absolutely insane, even for the people who absolutely love him. Does it not bother you how he behaves? Does that not trouble you that the American president acts like that?
Well, I think that's what sort of turned this midterm election, is you saw suburban women and others who just said, hey, you know, I was willing to vote for him on some of his policies, creating jobs and, you know, economic boost that he promised and some of these other policies that seemed to help their lives. They sort of thought, well, this is not what I envisioned to be representative of what America stands for. And so, you know, that they came out and ultimately helped change the the fate of the election. But I don't know. It depends on who's going to run against him and how long the Democrats dwell on investigations rather than solving people's problems. I imagine they're going to make a pivot at some point. I'm not hearing it so far.
Right. Well, they're hoping but the other investigations that are going,
I get it. You can do two things at once. That's what we keep hearing from Speaker Pelosi. But right now, if you had to close your eyes and say, what's the number one message you hear from Democrats, top Democrats, it is investigations. It's not problem solving. It's just not. And so that at some point, you pivot on that. At some point, you do, or else I don't know what happens.
What's interesting, though, is the president can continue to do whatever he wants to do here. Now he feels like once he beat back this, because the system really isn't designed to take him down, to take a president, not him specifically, but a president down like this,
mm-hmm.
in a simple way, right? And nor should it be. So he gets that he really has the upper hand here, and he's just going to keep using the upper hand. And then the more people fight him, the stronger he gets. He uses that energy to get, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger. And now, like, you know, the subpoenas and all the stuff that people are calling for, like Donald Trump Jr., Republicans calling Donald Trump Jr. back to testify in front of the Senate. And he's like, no, I'm not. Take me to court. Let's see what the Supreme Court does. PJ and Squee will have to decide what's going to happen. All right. Let me, let's just check in now with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Why did the Russia investigation start in the first place? That's what Attorney General Bill Barr wants to know.
Then there's this Wednesday. The Cubs are taking the hit show on the road as Baez and company go toe-to-toe with Votto. Cubs-Reds, Wednesday at 6 on WGN-TV.
That's right, Kev, right? With Votto?
Kev, Votto?
Yeah.
Does that sound...
Joey like, Votto?
Ah, yeah. Good. Joey.
Joey.
Good Joey.
Yeah, that's what you meant. You meant Joey Votto. Isn't that what you meant?
Yeah, that guy.
Meant. That's what she meant, Kev.
I know that guy.
That's who she's talking about there over by Joey Votto.
Canadian Italian baseball player.
Sounds like a Chicago
of a baseball player.
Sounds like a guy from Grand Avenue.
Kind of, yeah.
Joey Votto.
Hey, Joey. Hey,
over at D'Amato's.
Joey, I'm going to meet you over at Ogie after this. We'll get coffee. Hold on, maybe a nice Spumone, something. Don't, I don't want to ruin dinner, though.
No, your ma will be upset.
Yeah.
Let's not overdo it, Joey. Ma will be ticked.
Joey,
maybe cannoli.
Joey, who you like tonight?
I like me. We're playing tonight.
Who you like? You like,
I like Zion Williams.
How you feel about that tonight?
Like Golden State.
They're minus 4.5. I mean, what do you think?
Like Golden State there. On a home court, I like that.
Yeah. All right. That is not how we stood.
He's Canadian.
Again, this goes back to the whole issue of why we should never start on the web and then try to get back to the radio.
It's hard to
it's
make
a bad
this
thing. Show. It's very childish what goes on there.
Number 3.
Come on, baby. Don't fear the wiener. I think it can fly. Don't fear the wiener. I want to be your man.
The wiener is out.
This behavior that I did.
3 months after he traded federal prison for a halfway house in the Bronx, the disgraced former congressman and failed New York City mayoral candidate served a 21-month sentence for sexting with a minor, has been released from prison custody. And, of course, he ran immediately to the cameras.
It's good to be out. I hope to get back to my family and make up for some lost time.
Do you feel like you've learned any lessons? Do you feel like you're a new man?
Look, I feel like I am glad to be getting back to my family. I hope to be able to live a life of integrity and service. And I'm glad this chapter of my life is behind me.
So, no.
That was the wrong answer.
No, I didn't hear that.
That's exactly the wrong answer. What the hell was that?
So that stuff you said to the judge when you were begging for the 21-month deal instead of the 10-year deal? That was just nothing?
Right. So you're not going to be doing this again? You're not going to be sexting 14-year-olds?
She was 15 in his defense.
Okay.
High school student. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no one tell him.
She can't even drive.
No one tell him that WhatsApp got hacked by the Israelis. Don't tell him that. Because we want him on WhatsApp. Because God knows.
Keep track of him. Lord knows.
That was the worst answer ever.
Terrible answer. And it was like a talking point that was pre-prepared by a PR person. It was just, and he went back to it. The exact same sentence.
I say, it's May of 2019. Mm-hmm. I say by May of 2020, he'll be back in the clink.
You think it's just part of him? It's just his behavior.
What is his wife? What did he get back to his family? What family is
she
talking about?
She was taking him back. I thought that Puma was like, all right, bye-bye. Although they do have a young child, so I don't know. There's got to be some sort of custody arrangement there.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay.
Still going to see each other, but I don't know. I hadn't heard that.
I thought Huma had moved. Huma had moved. Had moved along, didn't she? I thought Huma said that finally. Because this was like the third time that mm-hmm. this had happened with.
The others were adults, I believe, of age, but yes. This was. This seemed like at one point that she was like, "Okay, I'm done. I'm washing my hands with them." Was the story?
Yeah, I would do that too a lot.
Number 2,
the 2020 presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg. Edge.
Well said,
as the president says. Teamed up with Jimmy Fallon last night to put a sultry groove underneath the stump speech during an installment of Slow Jams of the News.
Now I've got a question for you, marvelous Mr. Mayor. You may run a city, but what makes you think you can measure up to the presidency? Aren't you worried about performance anxiety?
Actually, I'm not. As mayor of South Bend, I re-energized the economy and invested in the industries of tomorrow. I'll get big money out of politics, and I'd support getting rid of the Electoral College, even if it means fighting these issues out in court.
Court is in session. And the Honorable Booty Judge is presiding. All rise if you haven't already risen.
His service to the country has been outstanding. His campaign is on fire like King's Landing.
And finally,
number one.
Hello, doctor. Well, that'll be $20. $20? You haven't done anything yet. $15? Maybe. Look, doctor, please listen to me. I have a terrible toothache. I am in terrible pain. I want you to do something to stop the pain. Either fill the tooth or pull it. Oh, gosh. C's. C's? Yeah, see, in dental school, in filling and pulling, I only got C's. That was just kind of an average grade. I got A's in cleaning, though. You want me to clean it for you? Will it stop the pain? No, but it'll look great. What?
Tim Conway has died. Beloved actor, best known for his work on The Carol Burnett Show. A man of a thousand different voices, often cracking up his castmates on the show, where they just couldn't breathe because of his reactions or his one-liners.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. He starred also in television throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and as recently as a voice on SpongeBob SquarePants and an appearance on 30 Rock, for which he received an Emmy. He talked about working with Ernest Borgnine back in his work on McHale's Navy.
And as I say, I had no business being in that business. And I went to Ernie Borgnine one day. It was in the afternoon, and I thought I'd show him how much I'd learned about business. And I said, excuse me, but what do you think my motivation is for this particular scene? And he said, if you don't get the shot by 5 o'clock, I'm going to kick you in. So that was my only introduction to what to do in this business. Try to get it done by 5.
Tim Conway was 85.
The top 5 at 5.